The bottom line is we are not playing good enough, and you know we need to raise our level, everybody, and you know, otherwise it's going to be a short run. So, but you know, you don't want to have any regrets, and right now we got to prove it on the ice. We've been talking a lot, and we've had enough time to prove it. So now it's time.
Last chance to dance for the Predators tonight. Game 6 tonight on what could be the single most important week in the history of the city of Nashville sports-wise. You've got Game 5 tonight, possibly Game 7 on Wednesday, possibly Game 1, but I mean, let's not get too far ahead of ourselves, but possibly Game 1 could be Friday night, draft Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So, Floyd, buckle it in this week on Jared and the GM, which, by the way, this hour, let me get this out of the way before we get rocking and rolling on the Preds. This hour, be listening for your chance to win a VIP draft experience, passes to see ESPN's Golic and Wingo and First Take Live at Nissan Stadium on Thursday. Okay, to the Preds, you heard Pekka right there. Pekka said, better start playing better. You know, that's the reality of where they are. Get smoked. And I know it was only a two-goal game, but let's not kid ourselves, Floyd. They got their butts kicked on Saturday night against Dallas. Here they are going back to Dallas. They've lost two in a row. I think I heard Braden say it today. They've played five games this series, and Dallas has kicked their butt four times. So here you are in your Game 6 situation. So I think I'd like to start today, if that's okay with you.
Sure.
I'm trying to look for the positive. So first and foremost, I don't even feel like I'm looking at the Predators that I'm used to watching that I've seen over the last couple of years. You know, the guys that won the President's Trophy or the guys who went to the Stanley Cup Final. I'm definitely not looking at them. I mean, I'm not even looking. When I watch this team play, it's not even the Predators that in 2015 lost to Chicago in the first round and the 2016 team that lost to San Jose in seven games in the second round. This team looks nothing like those teams. It has all the same players, basically, but it looks nothing like those teams. So I don't even want to call them the Predators right now because they don't even look like the Predators to me. I call them something else. The Titans. You know, whatever. I don't know. You know, just call them something else. They don't look like Predators. And with that, I'm going to start with the positive. And I'm going to unload every positive thing I've got. I put up a poll on Twitter, at Jared Stillman. 60% of you think they're going to lose tonight. 60% of the fans think they're going to lose tonight. Floyd, do you think they're going to lose tonight?
I mean, I certainly hope not. I wouldn't be surprised either way. I mean, I'm hoping they find a way to pull one more out, get to Game 7.
Very good Floyd way of saying, yes, you think they're going to lose tonight. And I think most people think they're going to lose tonight. Again, 60% of the people on Twitter think they're going to lose. And this is the most positive thing I can come up with. Every time you think this team is done, they go out there and they win. It is the craziest thing. They lost to Winnipeg this year. We said, goodbye, Central Division. No chance. It's over. They won the Central Division. I said, no chance against Chicago 2 years ago, swept them. I thought when they lost three in a row to Anaheim in 2016, and they were down, same situation, down 3-2. They had lost three in a row to Anaheim. I thought, no way, Jose. And they went out there and they won those two games. So that's the one positive takeaway I have from this team is every time you think they're going to do something, they do the exact opposite. And since a lot of people think they're going to lose, that's the only positive thing I can come up with. That's it. That's all I got for you. Other than that, where to start with this team right now? It's bad all around. They can't score goals. The only guy who can score goals is the street free agent on the fourth line who didn't even crack the lineup in game one. They can't stop Dallas from scoring goals because they won't just – they're playing man-to-man in the defensive zone, and guys just leave their man. And what does the Dallas guy do when his guy leaves? He goes right to the front of the net, they pass it to that guy, and he scores. Every time. It's just a lack of attention to detail. It's a lack of effort. It's a lack – I mean, it's a lack of heart. That's what it feels like to me watching it right now with this team. So I don't know what you can say about this team right now, but when you watch them, Floyd, I mean, they just look awful. And so that's the only positive thing I can come up with is when you count them out, or I shouldn't say you, when I count them out, they go out there and they win. And I mean, I have, my only hope is that. So that tells you how I feel about this series. I mean, Saturday was just, you get up 1-0, and then Cali Yarncroke just lets his guy go right in the slot, right in front of the goal and score. And then Ryan Ellis gets just crushed on a puck battle to Jamie Benn. And not the worst part of that play.
That wasn't a battle.
Well, I mean, it's technically a puck battle.
He slapped him down like he was his little brother.
And that wasn't even the worst part of the play. The worst part of the play is Josi leaves his man in front of the net, and it's a goal. Like, that's just stupid from your team captain. There's no reason why you did it. There's no reason why Cali Yarncroke just lets the guy go to the front of the net. There's no reason for it. And yet they're doing it. So make of it what you will, where they are. 60% of you think they lose tonight. I will just say this. Every time I have totally counted them out, they have won in the playoffs over the last however many years. And I'm pretty much counting them out. So that should be the only good news you got. Floyd, what are you watching right now?
What's left? I mean, you hit everything. I don't – I mean, they're not playing well. I mean, that's the bottom line. They're not playing good. And if you're not playing good and you're in the playoffs, you're going to get smacked around like they did. So, I mean, I don't know.
You have no patience for a team that doesn't show up in the playoffs, do you?
I don't have any patience for people that don't want to play.
What is that?
I have no idea. I mean, I don't, you know, it's, that was an awful performance. Awful performance by a, you know, playoff caliber NHL team. That was embarrassing. So I don't, you know, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they win tonight, but I don't think there's any way if they win the series. And if they win the series, they will get crushed by St. Louis. I saw St. Louis play one period against Winnipeg. That was all I needed to see.
So
Winnipeg got one shot.
So I think the question that has to go into this is why, right? Like, why? Why are we at this moment here? I mean, is it the coach? Do we look at the coach? Because I listened to Darren and Donick today, and if those callers are any indication of the callers that we're going to get on this show today, it's going to be a wild 4 hours. I mean, it was like the Paul Feinbaum show in terms of the ridiculousness of the callers. I blamed Laviolette squarely for Game 4. I don't not blame him for Game 5. I certainly think there's some blame there. I still think he's a really good coach. But there's something wrong with this team. And it goes back to your point of you having no time for people that don't want to play. Why does this team not want to play? I'll be honest, I was at the airport yesterday when they were getting on the plane to leave, and I debated saying this or not because everybody's going to hear this is going to say, you know, how would you know how, what they're... That did not feel like a group that wanted to get on that plane and go to Dallas. I'm just telling you, just the vibe I got at the airport yesterday talking with some of the guys. You know, Laviolette was in high spirits yesterday, you know, cracking some jokes, you know, he was... But those guys... It was like it was impeding them to have to get on the plane, to have to go play a hockey game when they could be doing all these other things right now. Yeah, I mean, this doesn't feel like the Predators anymore, Floyd. The team that everybody in this town fell in love with 2 years ago, this doesn't feel like that team anymore. And I just want to know why. And I don't know what the why is. And that's what's frustrating to me. That's what's really hard to understand. Because if they find the why, they can win this series. And if you win the series, you know, I agree with you. I think St. Louis will kill them. But you still have a chance in these things. It's weird how this sport works. We all counted Washington out last year when they got down 2-0. We've counted people out before. And they've made crazy comebacks and gone on to win. But what is the why for why this team is playing so uninspired right now? Because if you can't figure out the why, then there's no business in playing tonight. And I wonder what your why is on this. You've been around sports 40 years.
I have.
What's your why for what we're watching?
I'm not going there. I'm not going there.
Why not?
Because.
Because why?
I'm not going there. There's, this sport's different than any sport I've ever encountered.
See, I've realized this. That's his cop out to not calling out the coach. I have come to the conclusion that your cop out to not calling out the coach because you don't want to deal with the headaches of calling out the coach is to say, well, you know, this is a different sport than what I'm used to, but I don't think it is that different. At the end of the day, the coach is hired to get the team to play well. And again, I heard the callers today. I don't think firing Laviolette if they lose tonight is the answer. I don't think that Laviolette can't turn this around in this series. I think he could. But I am looking at the players, and I am wondering the why for what we're watching. Now, do I think Laviolette's been outcoached in this series? Absolutely. Do I think the strategy has been questionable at times? For sure. But they didn't show up in Game 4. They got the lead in Game 5, and then they just went out there and did a bunch of dumb stuff. It's not like these are inexperienced guys out there doing dumb stuff. These are guys who have played in a Stanley Cup final. Roman Josi and Callie Yarncroke. And what are they doing? And I don't know what to make of this, and I don't know what the answer is.
Well, I mean, I don't either, but they certainly are not playing good.
Just say it, Boyd. You won't say what you want to say, and you're holding back today.
I don't. I mean, it's a struggle. Everything's a struggle. I mean, what do you start listening to things? It's a long, distinguished list. So,
where does your list start?
Where do you want to start?
Where your list? It's your list. Where does it start?
Oh, it's long, distinguished list.
Start at number one.
I don't know. I can't get to one. You're not drawing it out of me. Keep trying.
I mean, just call it like it is, Floyd. It doesn't matter.
You don't call it like it is.
I am right now.
You are not.
Why am I not calling it like it is?
Not either. You're playing.
Oh, no. I'm telling it like it is right now.
You are playing.
When have I not told it like it is? What am I not doing that's telling it like it is? You want to know what I think? I think the team has a leadership problem. That's what I think. When Roman Josi's your team captain and goes out there and does something as stupid as he did the other day, where he jumps from his position in front of the net and leaves Alex Radulov wide open in front of the net, I think he got a leadership problem.
The leadership problem right there happened when Ben walked over and slapped Ellis like he was his 5-year-old brother.
Well, I didn't even want
Ellis
to extend it.
Bounced out of the way. I could have gotten that puck to anybody in front of the net. I mean, that was embarrassing. That was, you talk about you're playing a man's game. Ellis looked like a little baby.
Associate captain Ryan Ellis right there.
Yeah. I mean, he slapped him like he was a – that was embarrassing.
So do we think that's it? Do we think it's a leadership problem with the team?
I don't understand all the ins and outs of hockey.
And when I say leadership, the other side of it's the coach. Do you think the coach is the problem in this?
I don't understand how they get to the leadership and how important leadership is. I don't understand why – leadership is so much more important in this sport than all the other sports.
I think it's the same as it is in other sports. Like, if the Titans were to go out there and do this, people would question Mariota's ability to lead the team.
Yeah, but I mean, if you go out and get your brains kicked in, nobody's talking about leadership.
By a team that's not better than you.
That's not been, nobody's talking about leadership. I mean, you're talking about one or two things. That's it. It's narrowed down to the nitty gritty.
So you're going right to the coach.
I'm not going anywhere. That's up to you. You call it.
We'll take your phones on it. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. And I would say this. Other than the fact that this team, every time you think they're out, they somehow sweep Chicago. If it wasn't for things like that, I think I'd say it's probably over. But they'll play tonight, and we'll see. And it really could go one of two ways. They could win tonight, and they could win tonight, and it could turn it all around, or they could get their brains kicked in. And, your guess is as good as mine. Let's take your phones to start at 615-737-1025. And coming up next, how disappointed – this is the question for the callers – how disappointed and why? What is the why right here for the Preds and what we're seeing right now? 615-737-1025. It's Jared and the GM live at the Game National Studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. and Mount Juliet on ESPN 1025 The Game.
Peter, you spoke after Game 5 of some of the unforced errors that your team had. Does that make it, for lack of a better term, more easily correctable coming into Game 6?
I do think they're somewhat correctable, yeah. I mean, you go back and look at the goals and the way they happened. I mean, it's really difficult to fault your goaltender when they're big blunders like that. And that was the difference in that game. You know, the difference in that first game was those three power play goals in the first period, and you're chasing, the specialty games at 3-0 at the end of the night. Like, it's going to be rare to overcome that. And so last game, it's easy. It wasn't the quantity, it was the quality of the chances that we gave up. And that's what we talked about. I think that those things are controllable, and they need to be better.
Yes. To your phones here on Jared and the GM, unless you got something you want to add.
To the phones.
Freddie has been waiting patiently on the Preds. What you got, Freddie?
Hey, good evening, guys. I appreciate y'all taking my call. I want to ask a question, and Jared, you and Floyd can come deliberate what I'm going to ask you. About 3 weeks ago, y'all was saying that we hope that the Preds can get Dallas in the first playoff round, simply by the fact that Winnipeg, St. Louis, and Vegas are strong teams that one of them can probably easily win the cup. I want to ask y'all, do y'all think the Titans' intensity would have been more with them three teams than the ones that with Dallas, simply by the fact, I mean, when you give up 10 goals in two games and get about three or four shots at the net, I don't think the intensity level should be where it is. So just answer that question for me. I appreciate y'all calling.
I think it's a very fair question. Thank you, Freddie. Floyd, you've talked about this, I think, from the jump of this series. That has been, did they pull out the pack of camels when they got Dallas and head outside, as opposed to knowing if they had gotten St. Louis or Winnipeg from the jump? Hey, this is going to be a war. Did they, do the other side of it?
And I'm sure they did, whether they did it consciously or not. But if you're spending, and we spent, 3 months, 4 months talking about, well, we hope it's not Winnipeg. And then all of a sudden, St. Louis started closing in. You're going, wow, St. Louis is we hope it's not St. Louis. And who's left? But, Dallas. Oh, oof, okay. Give me Dallas. We're good. And I'm sure that's been a factor to some level. I mean, the truth is that Dallas is playing so good right now that they can't, they're playing better than they are. And I don't know what that means for the Preds.
I don't give Dallas any credit. I mean, the only reason the series isn't over is because Ben Bishop wet the bed in game 3. This is all you're doing, in my opinion. It's like, well, would they have been better off getting Winnipeg or St. Louis? If they had played Winnipeg or St. Louis the same way that they played these guys, they'd probably be done by now.
It'd have been swept.
If they play Colorado the way that they're playing right now, Colorado would have beat them. By the way, Colin Wilson had 2 power play goals the other night. Just, you can't score on the power play. Colin Wilson has 2 power play goals. Look, if you drew the LA Kings and played at this level, there's a chance you might lose that series. And the LA Kings have been out of it since like October 22nd. So, it all circles back to them. It's all about the discipline and the attitude. And I still think this team, I just think that these guys are entitled. They, don't criticize me. Don't you know? I mean, I got $8 million, I got that. Like, that's just the vibe I get. Yesterday when they were getting on the plane, just the vibe. You know how you can just see people and you can see a determination look, or you can see like an attitude of confidence, even if it's a quiet confidence, you can see it.
Sure.
I kind of saw this don't bother me attitude yesterday at the airport. And maybe I'm reading way too much into it, but I felt that way. Robbie Stanley was out there. He's going to come on at 4:00 today. I wonder if Robbie saw the same thing I saw yesterday. It would be interesting to ask him. Let's go back to your phones. Mike is in Gallatin. He's up next. What you got, Mike?
Hey, guys. Thanks. So we're this far into the season, and what I saw from the you know, 300 levels was a defensive combination that looked like they didn't have played each, with each other ever. I mean, these guys looked like they weren't communicating. They didn't have any, like, gel or whatnot. It killed me just to see us, like, lose these puck battles and get beat skating when we had large leads and things like that. I was, it felt like Vanderbilt playing Alabama all over again, and we're on the Vandy side. It was just painful and hard to watch. The only thing that gives me hope is that we had those games late in the season where we looked like we played our, you know, our blocks off, and we I'm talking about, I guess, because Edmonton and Amara, who the other team was.
You're thinking about Vancouver and Chicago. The problem is Vancouver and Chicago both suck.
Agreed. But again, you know, it could happen. But Jared, I feel like you're hitting the nail in the coffin. You know, these guys, they're just not gelling, and I don't know if it's changing the defensive pairs is going to really help us tonight, but they got to try something.
So I agree with you on that. Thank you, Mike. I believe that Peter Laviolette, now he doesn't get to match up tonight, but I believe he's got to put Josi and Subban together. I can't – Ellis cannot play against – now the problem is you know that Jim Montgomery is going to match up the Ben Sagan-Radulov line against Ellis and Ekholm if you do that. And the problem is I don't think Ellis and Ekholm right now, in the state that they're in, I don't think those guys can play with Dallas's top line. Especially Ellis. I think he's got to put Josi and Subban together. I'm not sure that solves every problem this team has. Again, the only thing I can bank on, the only thing that I've got in my satchel that would give me any hope is every time the Preds look absolutely defeated under Peter Laviolette, they go out and win at least one game. I go back to the Anaheim series in 2016. Preds went up 2-0, took their camels out, and, you know, took a smoke break for three games, and they looked dead in the water after getting housed at Anaheim in Game 5. And they won 6-7. So that's what they do. I gave them no chance. We all know, you know, the infamous Chicago series in which I said, no chance. And they swept them in four. They do this. We said after the Winnipeg loss on March 20th or whatever it was, we said goodbye division, and they ended up winning the division. Now, how much of that had to do with Winnipeg taking their camels out? I think probably a lot. But, again, we said no division, and they won the division. So they do this under Laviolette. It is a hallmark that once you say no shot, they win. Now, I've never seen that on a consistent basis to understand what that's about, but I think there's probably something to it. But I don't know if – I don't know if this team – has with that 2016, not the 2017 team that went to the cup final, the 2016 team that, you know, won the 3-overtime game against San Jose, that, you know, was down 3-2 to Anaheim and won game 6 and won game 7. I'm not sure that this team has the heart or whatever the 2016 team had. I'm not sure this team has that.
Yeah, I certainly don't know. And again, I don't, you know, to me, it's so useless to try to compare them. I mean, there's, you know, the team was different. They were playing different. The injuries were different. The competition was different. Everything about it is different. And so it's kind of like, yeah, okay. You know, yeah, I mean, you can talk about it. But, I mean, is there any validity to it? I mean, I don't believe there's an ounce. So, you know, it's.
But the attitude the attitude is different. And I think you can say there's validity in the attitude between previous teams and what those teams felt like they were about and what this team feels like they're about.
I don't – if we're worried about attitude going into a playoff game, I mean, these problems are deep-seated. I mean, attitude is not an issue when you're in the playoffs. You know, now skill may be, production may be, all of those kinds of things. But if you're in the playoffs – and you're not excited, and you're not going out there, then you are in the wrong business, in my opinion.
I got to read this tweet out just because it make my life happier, which, by the way, don't you think we need to question the attitude right now? I mean, I agree with you. If you got to question the attitude going to the playoffs, I mean, that's the reality of it. But Vandy Randy on Twitter.
Who is that?
Vandy Randy. Vandy Randy. Vandy Randy says, why don't you cover an actual team that has a chance of winning a championship like Vandy Baseball? You really don't think the Preds will advance, do you? No Vandy baseball talk today. We have the NFL draft in our city, and the team, the other pro team, is facing elimination tonight in the playoffs, in which we are the flagship station of. We are not, and I respect the heck out of Vandy baseball, so I don't want anyone else to take this the wrong way. Plus, Vandy got their first sweep of Alabama in Tuscaloosa since 1906. So, yes, I've been paying attention, but not now. More of your phone, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. And what do we think of how Peter Laviolette just keeps bringing up their own mistakes? Why does he do that? Is he trying to prove a point? I don't know. And then right back to your phones. Our friend Reed Besh has been nominated by the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society as a Man of the Year candidate. We need your help to make it happen. Go to bit.ly/teamreed to donate today. Reed's main goal is to find cures for blood cancers, so anything helps. Again, it's bit.ly/teamreed. bit.ly/teamreed. Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game, and we're streaming on the Game Nashville app.
Still going into this series, the Stars aren't going to give you much, so you can't give them much. But I'll tell you what the Stars did. They came into this building. They've got a lot of confidence. They played well in Game 3 in Dallas, ended up losing. They dominated the Preds in Game 4, and they carried that over. They simply came in here, and they outworked, they out-hustled the Predators, and I don't think the Preds had an answer for it. It was a tough first period. The score was tied 1-1. Pekka had to make about four or five brilliant saves just to keep it that way, and then they continued that through the rest of the game, and it looked like the Preds were just chasing them all around the defensive zone, kind of one and dones in the offensive zone, and just couldn't really generate and get any momentum going.
That was C. Mace after the game the other day. Says, hey, Dallas is just outworking, out hustling. I don't know if you need to address anything after that. If outwork, out hustle is once that's there, you don't, it doesn't matter if your, you know, system is such as, I mean, if the other team's outworking you, you're going to lose.
The rest of it doesn't matter. The system, scheme, the whatever it is, does not matter once you get to there.
So Peter Laviolette keeps harping on their mistakes in Game 5 and how it was them. And how if they correct them, they'll be okay. In fact, I asked him at the airport yesterday, I asked him about the breakdowns of the mistakes that they made in the defensive zone, the defensive breakdowns. And he, again, went back to it that it was their fault. This was Laviolette yesterday.
You know, some of those breakdowns where a guy kind of is off of his man a little bit. For you, how much harder is it to actually fix those mistakes than it is just to talk about fixing them?
So we actually just talked about it. I mean, it wasn't, I mean, everybody was, understands what happened and saw what happened. And, you know, again, you're right. There were players there, and there were people in position to defend, and we didn't. Some of them came off of turnovers, you know, where we had the puck in full possession, and some of the big saves that Peck's made in the first period, they came off of turnovers. We had possession of the puck, and we put it to the middle blind, and it turned around pretty quick. And so those are things that we can control. We know how to defend. We know how to take care of the puck. When we didn't do it last night, it cost us quickly.
So he keeps going back to their mistakes. Do you think is he doing that as a way of highlighting the fact that his team didn't play smart the other night? Is he doing it as a way to maybe motivate the players of saying, hey, it's not a big mountain to climb. Just do what, you know, just don't make the mistakes and we'll be fine. Or is he calling his players out kind of by doing that? What do you make of Laviolette just harping on the mistakes that they made on Saturday?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's harping on the fact that, hey, these are the mistakes that we made, and we can correct them, and if we correct them, we'll be fine. Now, we all know there's not much to that, but...
I think there's a lot to it. The question is are they going to be able to do it?
I think that's true.
I mean, I think there's a ton to that.
What, we turned the ball over, what, 18 times or something?
19
times.
Puck, but yes.
And they turned it over six?
I think they turned it over nine. I think the turnovers are 19-9. Giveaways. I mean, and a lot of those were defensive zone turnovers.
Double their turnovers. I mean, where do you have to go from there?
And how many times did the Preds lose their man again? Cali Yarncroke. That's the most disheartening thing for me is like with Yarncroke. I don't expect you to score. I don't, you know, when Cali Yarncroke, when someone says Cali Yarncroke scored one goal in his last 17 games, I don't get upset about that. I never look at goal total for Cal Yarncroke. I never really hold Cal Yarncroke to any statistical standard. But I believe in Cal Yarncroke, and I trust Cal Yarncroke. And when I see a guy go right by Cal Yarncroke, right to the net and score to give you an equalizer in a must-have game, I got no words for that. That's one of those ones that if you're not going to do your job there, just get out. Because that's not hard to do, to not let your guy just go right in front of you, cut your face, and get right in front of the goalie and score. It's not like it's unexpected of anybody. I don't care if they just got called up from Milwaukee yesterday. I mean, anybody can do that. It's not – I have almost no expectations for you and give you a bunch of credit and respect. I expect you to not let that happen. And that may be one of the most disheartening things about the other day. I think the most disheartening thing right now is that they got a lot of big money guys who are stinking it up right now. And it's like, oh my God, I'm going to be stuck with $30 more million at Turris, $36 million more at Ellis, however many more dollars at PK Subban, although I don't think PK has been as bad, although he stunk the other night. I don't think he's been as bad as everybody's made him out to be. But I'm stuck with all this money from these guys that aren't doing anything. Well, even PK, Arvidsson, where's Arvidsson?
PK was one of the guys that you were okay with. You know, you're thinking, hey, he's making a lot of money. He's starting, but he's playing.
And in the playoffs, he plays.
And then we had that game. And you go, well, where's PK? And that's why I said, it's, you know, these guys that are playing good aren't pulling anybody up. They aren't helping anybody. It's the guys that aren't playing good are pulling the good guys down.
But it's Ellis pulling Yossi down. It's Ekholm pulling PK down. It's Arvidsson. Because they're getting out. I'll be honest with you about this. They're giving Arvidsson chances. Dallas is saying, we are not letting 9 or 92 beat us. And 33 has been in front of the net about 15 times in this series and has not been able to put one in. And he's supposed to. So, you know, all of those guys, to your point, bringing it down. Let's go back to Derek, who's up next on the leadership. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, Derek.
Hey, guys, thanks for taking my call, and bear with me here. So I understand why people want to fire Laviolette. You know, it's not X's and O's. These guys know what to do. They're professionals. They know how to play. But, Jared, you know, you go back to 2016 and 2017, and I understand we can't compare, but there's a different guy wearing the C back then. It looks as though there's nobody holding the players accountable in the locker room to each other. You know, attitude reflects leadership. And I look at a team, and I don't know who's the real leader on the ice because I can't count on anybody. And I just think that's the way they're playing. Like, there's no real leader on the ice for these guys, and Laviolette can give them the game plan. But if they're not going to hold each other accountable to stay to their assignment and play discipline, then they're not going to go anywhere.
Derek, that is a great point. I appreciate your call because I have had the same thoughts. Thank you for the call. I remember after game two of the Stanley Cup final, the Preds got run out of the building in Pittsburgh. Pecorine got pulled. You're down 0-2. It looks terrible. And I remember watching the Fox Sports postgame, and Willie Donick was interviewing Mike Fisher. And Mike Fisher had a black eye at the time, and Mike Fisher said something that hit me through the TV where I was like, okay, you know, I can see them doing this. I can believe in what this guy is saying. And I actually went today and I went back and found that clip because I thought what Mike Fisher said that day resonated with me. And I was at the airport yesterday and I have heard all of the post-game discussion from the game five. And I have not heard one guy that has given me any kind of similar feeling like Mike Fisher did in 2017. They're down 0-2, got run out of the building. And Mike Fisher says this to Willie Donick.
We know there's parts we got to be better. There's no question, but we're looking in 3 nights. We're going home. We're staying positive. We believe that we can get back in the series. There's no question. And, you know, we're built on belief, and that's what we're going to do.
And, like, I remember when he said it, and I'm like, okay, you know, can they funnel that and take it forward to Nashville? And they won both games in Nashville, both 3-4. And, I shouldn't call anybody out in this regard, but interviewing Arvidsson yesterday when they were getting ready to take off to the airport, holy smokes. I mean, holy smokes. It's just the vibe of the team yesterday was not the vibe of Mike Fisher that is, hey, we know we got to clean up some mistakes, but we're getting back in this puppy. It was the, why y'all got to bother me? And I totally agree with the caller there. that there is something they are missing from Mike Fisher that they have not replaced?
Well, we've talked all year long about the possibility of the leadership, because everybody talks so much about leadership. And I mean, it must be essential. And yet, you know, you in the last year or two, you've shipped out all the guys that have been leaders, that is C's or A's or whatever, you know, for the last, I don't know how many years. And you've got new people that everybody respects and everybody really likes kind of filling in.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that doesn't mean they're good at it. You know, doesn't mean that they really want to be there. And so, you know, some of the guys, some guys from a leadership standpoint are just irreplaceable. You can't find somebody to come in and do the same thing. And that's why that guy needs to try to do it differently, do it his way, but still do it. But you can't, I mean, this is just an observation. There are a lot of guys in every hockey team from, you know, other countries. And I think sometimes they get concerned about speaking,
mm-hmm.
because they maybe feel like they don't speak as well as they. And so, you know, everything is real quick, real short, just to get it out there and get it going. And mm-hmm. and I wonder,
and I would say that is something, you know, not to say he can't be a leader because of how he approaches the press compared to a guy like Mike Fisher, who,
yeah.
you know, 15-year veteran,
regular
from
guy.
Canada.
Sure,
you know,
sure.
Much, much different. And I do think there's probably something to that. I just remember hearing that from Mike Fisher and thinking, okay, you know, and it resonated with me in Nashville, him talking to Willie in Pittsburgh, and it resonated with me so much so that I thought about it today in reference to what he said then, and I don't feel like I get that from anybody on this team. And I think that they promoted guys into leadership roles that maybe, I mean, if you take a look at their assistant captains, right? Yossi's the captain. He's been okay in the series. Ellis is the associate captain. He's been terrible in the series. The other assistant captains are Johansson, Ekholm, and Forsberg. Those are your money guys that you need to play well. What has Mattias Ekholm done in the series that has not been the definition of stupid? And I am an Ekholm fan. I love the guy. He's a great player. But all he does now is take penalties and give up goals. And I do wonder if the lack of Mike Fisher is having an effect on it. Let's get one more in. Gene is up next. Go ahead, Gene.
Well, I was at the arena for the 44th time this season. And what I saw an undisciplined Predator team give Dallas, by the way, its best shot, which probably indicates why they are so inconsistent this year, because they're very undisciplined. And I saw Dallas take their best shot and run us out of the ring. And I figure the reason being, I think, is that we don't have a spark. Last year, or 2 years ago, we had a spark with Arvidsson. We had a spark with Fiala. And you look at this year, look at St. Louis, O'Reilly, and also Bennington. And you look at Dallas, a Bishop. He gave them that spark, and they bought into that coach. We have those sparks. We've been running this system for 3 years, and it's kind of gotten stale. And also, we've gotten slower, too. It seems like everyone's gotten faster and bigger. Arvidsson, he gets knocked off the puck. Ellis gets knocked off the puck.
Ellis is killing me. He's killing me. I mean, he is.
Slower.
Gene, I appreciate your call. I think that Arvidsson, and I've said this, I think he's a regular season player. I mean, I remember 2 years ago in the Cup final run, Floyd, you were like, he needs to score. And everybody, myself included, said, but he's got a lot of assists, Floyd. You know, he's got assists. And you were pumping the tires that he needs to score. And just after watching him get manhandled in this series, I think his size prevents him from being a dominant regular or as good of a playoff player as he is in the regular season. Ellis, boy. I don't even know what to say about Ellis anymore.
I have to agree with the caller on one point, which is, I mean, we certainly don't look fast on the ice.
No. And Rocco, who can't even practice on Friday, Rocco goes out there and he looks like the fastest guy.
And I thought we would be, faster than Dallas. But, I mean, we don't look fast at all. In fact, Dallas looks a lot faster than we did this last game.
Well, they don't look, when they've played St. Louis this year, they haven't looked as fast as St. Louis. They haven't looked as fast as Winnipeg when they played them. I mean, even Colorado, watching them play against, watching them play against Calgary, they look fast too. I'm with you. I mean, I think that that is definitely a legitimate observation to have. More of your phone calls, 615-737-1025. We'll go back to the phones. Quick NFL draft minute, though. We will get another draft minute. And again, this is, Floyd, I feel like the rumors are starting to get a little crazy right now about, well, I'm hearing that, and I think that probably in your day, you probably stirred some of these pots, even though you wouldn't want to admit that
I
you
would
stirred
never
some
do
of
that.
These pots.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Right. Uh-huh. And so we'll get into what I think is the hottest take of our draft. We'll get to that next. It's Jared and the GM right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game and streaming on the Game Nashville app.
I said to you, there are people who don't love Kyler Murray, mm-hmm. who we think will wind up being mm-hmm. the number one pick. Why do they not like Kyler Murray?
Old guard can't buy into it. It's just you got to get into today's NFL, and they can't. Basically, they're stuck in the past. Yeah, you know, where the NFL was more traditional. It was under center, 3-5-7 step drop. Your route tree, two wides, a tight end, you know, fullback. You know, it's not that way anymore. It's different. And I think when you look at Kyler, you see a lot of young GMs, young scouts now, but you still have some of the old guard. And the old guard that I've spoken to and I've heard, okay, over the years I've listened to, have not bought into Baker Mayfield or Kyler Murray.
Mel Kiper Jr. says, hey, it's the old guard that's down on Kyler Murray. Is that the case? Pop, I don't know. But it's starting to come out now. Arizona may not be interested in Kyler Murray. Apparently, they may be committed to Josh Rosen. In fact, the USA Today writers did a mock draft where they picked around, and the guy that covers Arizona, so for example, Joe Rexrode, bad take Joe, he made the Titans pick at 19 with a terrible pick, by the way, Jerry Tillery out of Notre Dame, which is not a bad player from what I've been told, but just, I mean, McShay has the Titans taking Jerry Tillery in the second round. So, I digress. The guy from Arizona has the Cardinals taking Quinnen Williams from Alabama at number one overall, and not Kyler. So, are we buying some of the belief that Kyler might not be the first pick in the draft? Do you think that that's the case? To me, I think it's sealed. I think Murray number one, and I don't know if it's Arizona, but I think Murray number one is a done deal at this point.
Well, I don't. I mean, I would agree with you. It may not be for Arizona. I mean, I think the trade potential is enormous, and I think that pick is going to be worth a ton of currency. You're going to make a bunch of money on that if that's what you want to do. You know, I mean, the problem that Arizona has in my mind is the thing we don't know about Arizona is that we don't know what their thoughts are on Rosen. And if they really like Rosen, then Murray's not going to be that big a deal. If they don't, then it will be a big deal. I mean, they brought in a new coach. They got rid of a defensive coach, brought in a new coach. This guy is a, you know, wide open, running, shooting, gun and go. And so Murray is kind of his kind of quarterback from that standpoint, or at least the systems that he's run are leaning that way. So I'm sure he probably likes that. But I mean, it's going to be, this will be the same discussion that'll be year after year. You know, is he or is he not?
Well, do you think he goes number one?
I wouldn't be surprised if he goes number one at all. But it may not be to Arizona. That's my point.
So I don't know, like the Rosen thing, like when they hired Kingsbury, they said at the time they hired Kingsbury to fix Rosen. And I think they're doing what you said at the combine, which was when Kyler Murray measured in at 5'10", you said, if I was Arizona, I would light that fire so wide that I'm taking Kyler Murray. I'd want everybody in America to believe that I'm taking Kyler Murray so that I could then go get a bushel of picks. So I'm not sold that Arizona drafts Murray. I would not touch Kyler Murray with a 10-foot pole. I wouldn't do it. But I do wonder if they're just trying to pump it up so high that, say, somebody in the top five, top 10 just become like, what if the Giants call and offer you 6 and 17 to get Kyler? You gotta make that trade, right?
Probably, but I wouldn't be surprised if there's not even more than that.
More than 6 and 17?
Yeah.
Holy smokes.
I mean, a third or fourth or both or whatever.
I mean, I think somebody is going to go crazy for Kyler, and so I think there's a chance that someone else takes him, but I think he's going number one. And I do feel like if you put a gun to my head and say what happens on Thursday, I think Kyler number one to Arizona. I think that is I think I feel pretty safe in saying that. Again, I wouldn't take him. But I also do – I think somebody tweeted out over the weekend that they think Quinnen Williams may be the best player in the entire draft.
Oh, I think a lot of people would tell you that.
Do you feel that way?
Very likely, yeah.
More than Bosa?
Yeah.
Oh, no, Bosa is a game wrecker now.
Bosa has been beat up. This kid, this Williams kid is a young-bodied Albert Haynesworth kind of guy. I mean, he's a game wrecker.
But he couldn't get on the field for 3 years at Alabama.
Of course, all the guys that played ahead of him are number one draft choices.
But, I mean, maybe he is. I would have no idea. Do you think if he's there at four, like let's say the I think like the popular is Murray and then Bosa and then Allen and then four, could the Titans move from 19 to four and get Quinnen Williams if he's that good?
Oh, yeah, you could do it, but it would take – we got six picks.
Yeah.
Probably take five of the six.
I mean, you'd have to trade a player. Like, it would cost you Jack Conklin.
You'd have to put, you know,
like Conklin and your one and a three, and then it would – if he's an Albert Haynesworth, if Quinnen Williams is an Albert Haynesworth, I think I'd trade Conklin in order to get him. I think I would. Conklin, your one, and a three. To move up to four to get Quinnen Williams. Would you do it?
If I'm...
Tennessee.
I don't think I would.
You wouldn't trade your one, Conklin, and Quinnen Williams to get the best player in the draft?
No. That's too much currency. You're trading three players for one.
The best player in the draft.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you don't...
A game wrecker.
We got Albert.
A sacker.
We got Albert at 16 or 15.
Well, you're not going to get Albert at 15 this year.
Well, I mean, that
sacker.
Just goes to show
a
you.
A sacker. Right no, there. No. If Conklin, if you guaranteed me a Pro Bowl sacker, a perennial Pro Bowl sacker for Conklin, a one and a three, done. I mean, you used four players to get Evans and Landry, and they were okay this year. But if this is a bona fide sacker, oh, God, give me the sacker. Oh, goodness. Okay, back to your phones quickly. Carl on the Preds, thank you for calling. Go ahead, Carl.
Hey, guys. So I'd just like to make 2 points quickly and then see what you think about it. The first point, I already know what Floyd's going to say, and I know what Laviolette's going to say. I want to know what you think about it, Jared. Is it time to start Soros, or do you ride Pekka off into a first-round sunset? And my second point is I feel that the Predators' most glaring weakness is they do not have a superstar. Their leading scorer is a 60-point guy, and I just don't see that they have the firepower to compete.
I think that that's a really good take. Carl, thank you for your call. I agree wholeheartedly. I was thinking about this yesterday. They don't have a player on that roster that can carry them out of the whatever they're in right now. They don't have a big boy forward that says, give it to me and get out of the way. And we've prayed for a big boy forward. We've asked for a big boy forward, and they've never gotten one. So, yes, I agree with that take. No, you don't play Soros. Robbie Stanley, NHL.com, will join us coming up next. Does he think it's over? Does he think that it's over for the Predators? Also, did he feel the same vibe at the airport yesterday that I did, that this team just didn't have the on-a-mission vibe yesterday. We'll get into that coming up next as well. Jared the GM, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game, and we're streaming on the Game Nashville app.